now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello.
Oh, there we go. Hello and welcome to Christmas.
Well, yes, good evening, Andrew. Oh, that's a deja vu moment, isn't it? No, it's not, Andrew.
Don't call me Andrew.
We're going to run out of bed in a minute. Move on.
I'm not the one missing my line. Do you want me to say it?
Go on, then.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
Who am I again?
You're out of bed. You're out of bed. That was just a disaster.
That was near.
That was amazing, guys.
Yes, thank you. That was as good as last week, where you keep mentioning Christmas.
You totally fluffed that.
No, I didn't.
I mean, Andy, you wasn't picking up the slack either. So, you know.
I know what you were supposed to be doing, but it was a deja vu moment. Yeah, How many times did I tell you last week? It's not Christmas yet on Shout Out.
It's been a long year, and obviously you're running into
it. Has.
I want Christmas songs today.
Anyway, you're Mr. Shilton, and I'm Ms. Barnett.
Okay? Do you want to do it again?
Don't put him through it.
Literally.
Just to let you know what's coming up on the show, Ivan's been under the sea. I wonder if he can sing that. I hope it's on his pre-record. He went to Bath to meet Bath. B. Roberts, and he spoke to some mermaids. Yes, that's different.
That sounds great. I always wanted to be a mermaid. I always wanted to be Little Mermaid specifically. So. Specifically, I can't say that word. Anyway, yeah, I wanted
I'm glad
to
I don't clean your bathroom. I dread to think.
What do you mean?
I'm splashing around, being a mermaid.
I mean, I was also four, so it wouldn't have been that much of a splash.
Oh, so a few years ago then.
All right.
All right. You're lucky I didn't have a wee comeback, or the wee comeback wouldn't be appropriate.
I'm
glad
you. I think Andy's turned our comebacks out, don't you?
No, I still got a lot in my chest, so, you know.
Glad to hear it.
Sorry, hello, Lara and Tara.
Hello. Oh, wow, we finally say get hello. An introduction. Hello.
No, we haven't even finished introducing the show. I don't know why you're worrying.
Not worrying.
So, the listeners don't have a clue what's coming up today because they're fluttering it in.
I just told them. Oh, before we go on, can I just say a thank you to our Arabic and North African correspondent who tweeted earlier this week about a new Tunisian radio station, not just any ordinary Tunisian radio station, but a gay one. I think they'll have full information in the news about that. But thank you so much. That actually went viral, which obviously dragged our tagline along.
Yeah, but the reason it was really nice for us was because they tagged us on their tweet.
Yeah, well, they do, because it's our correspondent. So any news item, they tag us in it so we can pick it up quite quickly.
It's nice to have an LGBT plus radio station. In Tunisia.
Yeah.
Well, all over the world, really, but especially there. So.
Yes.
I don't know what it's like in Tunisia. It's
hot.
Gay, okay. Yeah, I know that.
I thought you were going to follow that up then and say, like me.
I don't know. It's not quite. I'm calming down on the sass this week because I didn't think Andy can.
You guess you're ready for Christmas?
I mean, no, but it's because I don't think you can handle it, really.
Right. So. It's Christmas show next week. Are you going to be tinsel and.
No.
No?
No, sorry, I'm Glitter. Scrooge. I'm not Father Christmas or Mrs. Christmas, so, nah, I wouldn't be doing that.
You make quite a good Father Christmas.
Oh, thank you. I've got no response to that, Andy, anyway.
That's twice Laura's failing.
I know.
Oh, excuse me.
We were partying last night or something. It's not like you. You're not on top form today.
I know. What can I say? It's been an exhausting couple of days. My last week of uni, so forgive
last
me.
Ever or...
Oh, God, not
just for
ever.
The term.
Just for the term.
Oh, right.
I'm not ready for ever yet. So, anyway, Tunisia is a great place, but no, the LGBT plus rights aren't exactly where we are. So,
right.
That's exactly why they need it.
So I have been to Tunisia, but I was like knee high to a grasshopper, so I don't really remember it that much.
So, it was like long, 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 long time ago, right?
You can really go off.
I don't think there's enough longs in that one.
No, back when the dinosaurs roamed the earth, clearly, so.
Just because you're still in nappies, you know.
Oh, come on, people.
Anyway. Same jokes.
Have we all done our Christmas shopping? You got, what, is it 11 sleeps they were saying on the station this morning?
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I do it on the 23rd, and that's the earliest I do it.
I'm starting 9 a.m. tomorrow.
23rd? God, I couldn't leave it that late. That would drive me up the wall.
this weekend, all sorted.
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't really want to buy Christmas presents. It's because I have to. It's like,
well, don't you like getting Christmas presents?
Not really. I'd rather money, to be honest.
Yeah. Like, well, that's still a Christmas present.
Yeah, I know, but it's like I don't have to like wrapping it and getting it and thinking of what the person would like.
That's what Amazon's where you buy it for. Yeah, you just tick the box and it comes done. It's marvellous.
Who's a fan? Who's a fan of Graham Norton?
Oh, me.
Watch Friday.
Why?
Why?
Well, you might see a certain. Steffi, yeah. Yeah.
I saw the photos of you in his seat.
Yes.
On Facebook.
Luckily, the director said, you better be quick, because if he walks out now, catch.
Are you going to explain to listeners why you happened to be there?
Oh, it was the director, who's a friend of the show, invited me up to have a look behind the scenes at the studios that are about to be demolished. That
really?
Yeah, those are BBC shows recorded by ITV, and the studios are about to be knocked down, and they recorded some of the classics like On the Buses.
Yeah, but you've got times change, and the studios need to change as well. So
well, it's not changing; it's coming down.
Yeah, well, they've got to get rebuilt. You know, they spent all that.
They're not rebuilding it.
Yeah, but they've built Manchester's got that huge media centre now, and all
it has. But Graham won't go up there; he's staying in London. So what he's doing, he's going to have to go back to the BBC studios for the next season. So this is the last couple of shows now of the Graham Norton show in the current studios. Mm. 22 seasons.
Well, gosh, that's been a while then. So. Now, talking of events, it's that time. So, Outshout, I think you're probably for the last time this year. I'm not sure.
Well, that's what we can assume.
Yes, it is the last one.
So it's a bit of a run-up to through Christmas.
Oh, what a fitting into the year, though. We've got the comedy duo. Tom and Lara.
Oh, he's been itching to say that for weeks.
Yeah, I know. We've been renaming everyone to fill in between.
Yeah, I bet you have.
So, first one off is Psychodrama Presents The Nightmare Before Christmas. It's on December the 15th, tomorrow, at 10 p.m. till 4 a.m. at the Queen Shilling. Yeah, so it's the usual psychodrama. Really good mix of music, in terms of goodness, rock, indie, and new wave. So that's one. And then on Saturday, and I had to mention it as well, there is the Bingen Cup Road to Amsterdam for the Bisons. So the Bisons have got a charity event at the Queen Shilling on Saturday, and I think, you know, you turn up and put your money in your pocket and give them some money to fund them getting across there to play their rugby.
So just as a quick like notification, so the Queen and Country online magazine has been launched. It's Christmas Complaint, exclusive partnership with the National Trust. The Wilshire based magazine is only 6 months old and is already teamed up with some big companies to bring its readers the great content. More big features planned for 2018 for Queen and Country, and the team are on the lookout for contributors. So if you have any ideas, photos or content ideas, do email them, and you can visit the www.queenandcountrymagazine.co.uk. Definitely get on board with that. Your stories need to be heard.
Cool.
So there you go.
We had them on the other week, didn't we?
Did we?
Yeah, a few weeks ago.
I feel like unoriginal now.
You feel unoriginal.
Yeah, unoriginal, because I've just done it. But, oh well, it's definitely a good magazine. Definitely good.
I love the name, Queen and Country. I think it's hilarious. It's great.
It's good, isn't it? Yeah.
Based in Wiltshire as well.
Yeah.
And James is also a newsreader for us.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay, yeah. I didn't even know. Oh, is this James from
Queen and Country?
Queen and Country. That one.
I've got James from Bristol 24/7 as well. We're run over by James now.
Yes. So when you look at Shoutout's history, it's quite funny. A lot of the people that are members originally came on the show to be a guest and then just never left it.
Me?
Yeah. Yes.
I don't think I was ever a guest. I was just cherry-picked.
No, you just can't shut up.
I was cherry-picked from a panel and then that's how I got here, which is amazing.
Cherry picked from a panel.
Yes, I was cherry picked. Thank you very much.
What panel?
It was a Freedom Youth one where wanted me to talk for some reason, and apparently I'm good at it. So
really,
yeah. For the viewers, I stuck my tongue out at Andy because he deserves it.
So, seeing as we may not have a Outshout again this year, recommendations for New Year's Eve.
Ooh. Ooh. I mean, I can't go, but Bristol Bear are doing a couple of good things.
Bristol Bear Bar?
Yeah, Bristol Bear Bar. So, yeah. They're doing a couple of big nights.
Why can't you go? Are you doing something else?
No, I can't go. Yeah, I'm in London.
Oh.
Yeah, so
no. What are you doing in London?
A lot.
Oh, are you seeing Ella? Are you going to see Ella while you're there?
No, I'm just going to be face down with alcohol in my system. Just saying.
Really honest there, I like that.
By the way, Ella, Merry Christmas. Yeah. Shout out, we're missing you.
Yeah, we are. But anyway, alcohol, lots of it.
I think I would...
Please drink responsibly, not like Lara. Sorry, Tara.
Oh, I drink responsibly.
That's right. I would go to the assembly rooms myself, I think.
I like the assembly rooms. I haven't been in the Duchess yet.
Oh, right, okay.
So I know all of Old Market's got stuff
events,
going on.
Yeah, so they've got events on Christmas and New Year's Day as well.
There's lots of places everywhere.
Yeah. It's just finding one that you can afford, really.
Yeah, I know.
Wants to charge you a fortune to go in the door.
Ooh, that's taxi prices, though. That's so often the worst, much. Isn't it? It's a killer.
That's why I live across the street from OMG.
You can listen to Steffi on the radio, I think.
So you doing your broadcast marathon?
H&H, 5 hours, yeah.
H&H. From handbags and high heels, for those that don't know what H&H stands for.
Till 1 in the morning, so I'll be supplying all your party tunes.
What, on the first? From 31st to the 1st?
Into the 1st, yeah.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah. H&H, you must call it handbags and high heels, especially handbags on New Year's Eve. Hair. That can get very confusing for people who don't know.
Yeah.
Sounds good, though. I'll be listening. Well,
yeah, we had our New Year's Eve party last year and we kicked it off with Steffi booming out in the house.
Oh, wow,
yeah.
That's nice.
It was quite good. We had lots of contact from parties saying, we've got you on, we're listening, and we got you as the party music.
Oh, well, I'll definitely try and give you a call.
So you just BCFM, or are you simulcasting with anyone?
Probably Pirate Nation. Last year we did, every time I've done this, I've always done it either from Pirate Nation or simulcasted with them. So and Gloss FM. When I was at Gloss FM as well.
Did you do with Paul Lynn, leave her home with a bottle of vodka or something?
No, she's always worked, because when she was nursing at Southleach, she always worked New Year's Eve.
Right.
So I always thought, well, let's do a radio show.
Why not? I would. Definitely.
It's fun. And of course, the nice thing is it's interactive. You can phone in and say, hey, Steffi, would you play me this?
Yeah.
Am I going to put you on the spot now by doing that? Because you'd have to find them.
If I got it, I'll play it.
Cool.
Well, I'm looking forward to that.
0117-911-3307 is the studio here.
Yes.
So, cool. Okay. Thank you very much, everyone.
No
Shout out. LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
White Christmas.
There you go. That's the Pentatonics, and White Christmas.
Always stop.
It's a really good version of White Christmas, isn't it?
Well, the Pentatonics are rather good.
Yeah, well, I keep getting accused that I play Pentatonics far too much, and I looked and it was like February or something. I last played a Pentatonics track. I was like, hey, it's Christmas. I think we can get away with one more. You know, so.
As you do.
So now, Ivan's literally gone and sunk to new lows as he's been off on an underwater adventure with the right behind a rather special production of Little Mermaid over in Bath. Have a listen to this.
Now, I'm really pleased to say that in the studio with me today is award-winning playwright Bea Roberts. Hello, Bea.
Hello.
I said playwright, but actually you've done a lot of other stuff as well, haven't you?
I have, yes. Very occasionally I will perform and then regret it because I get terrible stage fright.
That's stand-up, isn't it?
A long time ago, I did do some stand-up, and then more recently I've done a bit more kind of storytelling stuff, and my last show, Infinity Pool, I actually teched live on stage, but I didn't talk during that one. So all sorts of bits and bobs. And then for this show coming up, Little Mermaid, I've actually co-written some songs.
I'll get to that in a minute. Last time I interviewed you, I think you were just producing, or you'd just written Nightjars. Mm. And that was an amazing two-hander play. Absolutely brilliant. You got an award for that, didn't you?
Thank you. Yes, I did, yeah. I got the Theatre 503 International Playwriting Award for that one. And I was also nominated as a finalist for the Susan Smith Blackburn, which is an international one. So,
wow.
Yeah.
You doing sleeping really well. That mantelpiece is creaking.
It's in the bathroom.
It's in the bathroom. That's a first. I've not heard that before. Now, you're currently on attachment with the National Theatre Studio, and you've also recently joined the newly founded company, The Coterie, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
And that's supported by...
Sky Arts and the RSC are some of the funders, and I think the Old Vic as well have been putting in some money. So that's an amazing... it's an all-female experimental company. So they've commissioned three playwrights, myself, Evie Crow, and Shanali Bhattacharya. And we've all been commissioned to do something weird that we've never done before, which is an amazing commission.
Right.
So I've been trying to create a cabaret about climate change for them.
That should be interesting.
Yeah,
are there going to be many comedy moments in that? This is the question.
Well, this is the challenge, yes. We've been trying to find the comedy in it as much as we can, and the songs, and looking at kind of drag. We spoke to Dickie Bow. I don't know if you know, he's an amazing lip sync artist. So we had a chat with him about how he would approach it. And we had a clowning workshop. So talk to a clown, how would you approach this subject? So we're trying to find a new way in of talking about it that doesn't make everyone want to, you know, dive under the bed covers and never come out again.
Well, I really look forward to seeing that when it comes to fruition. But the production you're working on now, that's a really different beast, isn't it? Little Mermaid. It's an adaptation of the Hans Christian Andersen tale. Are you calling it a play, or a play with music, or panto maybe?
Ooh,
I don't know.
We haven't got the budget for panto, so it's not quite panto. Maybe a play with music, or a musical perhaps. It does have four original songs, which I co-wrote with our amazing composer, Jack Drury.
So you're a composer as well, you see. You didn't mention that before.
Well, I'm not the composer. I just sort of sing at Jack, and he plays the keyboard or the guitar or whatever, and then we work it out together.
Fantastic. But I guess for Little Mermaid, this is really important because the context of the original tale, this is really important about for the reasons of the way you rewritten or reimagined the tale, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that context.
Yeah, so what a lot of people didn't know, and what in fact I didn't know until I got sort of knee-deep into the project really, is that The Little Mermaid was written as a gay love letter. So Hans Christian Andersen had a friend, we don't know the exact nature of this relationship because it was Victorian times, but he had a friend called Edvard Collin, and Edvard Collin got married to a woman, and Hans Christian Andersen was devastated by this, and he took himself off to an island, and he wrote The Little Mermaid as a love letter to Edvard Collin and sent it to him. And in that context, the story suddenly makes a lot of sense because it's about someone who is, you know, the Little Mermaid character. She falls desperately in love with the prince. She transforms her body to try and have the body that he will like. She can't ever tell him that she loves him because she has her tongue cut out by the sea witch. And then he marries someone else and she kind of dies of a broken heart. So when you just read the story without the context, you think, well, this is just horrible. It's just this character being tortured.
Yeah.
But suddenly, when you know the backstory, it's this, you know, very heartbreaking, tragic.
It's really sad. And if anybody's in any doubt about Hans Christian Andersen and what he was, either gay or bisexual, because he tried to have relationships with women as well, didn't he? Although they were allegedly unattainable, sort of out of his league. But in a letter to Edvard Collin, he said, "I languish for you as a pretty Calabrian wench." Those are his words.
Mm-hmm.
"My sentiments for you are those of a woman. The femininity of my nature and our friendship must remain a mystery." So he was obviously expressing his love for him there, but at the same time was obviously aware of the fact that he had to keep it secret and he couldn't tell anybody, which is really, really sad. And as you said, you know, a really awful ending. I mean, of 3,000 odd fairy tales, this is probably one of the few not to have a happy ending, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really tragic. And and again, you know, using the context, it makes sense. They kind of languish. The prince goes off and marries someone else and the Little Mermaid kind of dies in silence, sort of unrecognised. So in our story, I was really keen to kind of redress this. And so instead of falling for the prince when she comes above the water, our Little Mermaid, who's called Morgan, she falls for a deckhand called Laura, and they have a much, much happier ending. So it's nice. I kind of feel like we've been able to, I don't know, give that character the happy ending that wasn't possible in Hans Christian Andersen's time.
Are there some subliminal messages going on there? I mean, you've chosen the name Morgan instead of Ariel. I think Ariel was the original name.
Yeah.
That's kind of an androgynous name. Was that deliberate?
Do you know, it didn't occur to me that it was androgynous. No, it was chosen because it means women of the sea.
Oh, right. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I like my names. Whenever I choose a name for a character, I often, you know, like it to have a meaning. I'll look up what names mean, just, you know, for me, apart from anything else. So, no, so it came from that, actually.
Is there a danger when you're moving away from a traditional story with heteronormative undertones to a more, you know, say a same-sex story that this essentially is? This is what you're either returning it to. Is there a danger that you end up stereotyping those same-sex relationships in the sense that I think, you know, Laura, she's playing this butch deckhand, I guess. She's in this... she's in this role that's traditionally quote unquote a male role, isn't it? A deckhand, I suppose. And then you have maybe a lipstick toting a mermaid. I mean, are you in danger of stereotyping lesbianism itself, you know, with these sort of polarized sort of different personalities? Or is it just a story, another way of telling the story?
Well, I very, very much hope we're not stereotyping anybody at all. The reason that she's a deckhand really is because in a lot of, you know, like you say, fairy tales are very, very heteronormative, and they're normally all about, you know, the princess is pursuing the prince, and we just wanted her to. And the prince in our story is a very kind of foppish, unattractive character.
Well, you do
with this
have
kind
a
of
prince, then.
Yeah, well, a prince type character called Hugo, and his kind of friends. And so we wanted the love interest to be someone who was kind of more down to earth, who was a local. So we've set the story in Devon, and like, so Laura is from Torquay, and she's really into the mermaid mythology of the area and stuff. So she's much more kind of down to earth, and she's the one who kind of really cares about Morgan for who she is. Hopefully we've avoided any stereotypes.
And it's aimed at a young audience as well, isn't it? And I suppose, is it important to stress that you're not over-sexualising these roles? There's no rolling around in the seaweed, is there, or anything like that?
No, there's no, they have a very, very sweet relationship, actually. And I think their date scene when they go on a date is probably my favourite out of the entire show. It's not overly sexual at all. It is for a family audience, but it is very clearly a lesbian relationship, and it's celebrated and accepted both above and under the water.
So it's a learning tool as well as entertainment.
Mm.
And lessons, I suppose, as we've mentioned, you know, sexual stereotyping. And I suppose racism as well, because you're dealing with all these different creatures, different individuals, races, I suppose you might like to sort of call it.
Yeah, well, there's a kind of, I guess, there's sort of an allegory with the under the water in the kingdom. They don't talk about humans, and that's kind of forbidden. You don't interact with humans. They're kept very separate. So I guess there's kind of parallels to be drawn on there about boundaries that could be racial or gender or you know, whatever it is, really.
And can I mention you've got two different time periods as well, haven't you?
We have, yeah. So I mean, in terms of re-looking at the story, we really wanted to look at gender, and like you say, fairy tales are really heteronormative, just down to the fact that even girls tend to play very sensible characters and boys are allowed to be fun or kooky, and we really wanted to just disrupt all of that. So we are under the water, it's the 1950s, and the princess live on a wrecked cruise liner, and they're expected to be debutantes and smile and wave and be appropriately married. And above the water, it's the 80s, and it's suddenly Technicolor kind of rom-com territory.
And time has moved on politically as well, I guess,
yes,
in terms of the way they're allowed to behave as
Absolutely,
well.
Absolutely, yeah.
Now, from a practical point of view, I'm really intrigued, and you don't have to give it away if you don't want to, about how the mermaids move around on the stage. You haven't gone down the Bette Midler Dolores Ilago wheelchair solution, have you?
There's no roller skates.
No roller skates either.
Which
was
the Little Mermaid Disney musical.
Right.
I think the designer Zoe Squire would kill me if I broke any secrets.
So that's a secret.
You're going to have to
come and see it. You've got a cast of seven playing 17 parts. Did a quick bit of arithmetic. That's a lot of quick changes. That's three parts for some people, isn't it?
Yeah. More, in fact. So the Little Mermaid character, Morgan, she's the only one that's constant, and everybody else is playing at least three or four other characters.
That must be a nightmare of blocking that lot, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's been an incredible technical feat sort of undertaken by our two directors, Emerald and Cameron Carver, to just move the pieces around the stage, move everyone around, get the costumes in the right places. And I've been in rehearsals kind of rewriting, like, oh, you know, Tim's got to be a seahorse now, we need a couple of minutes to get him changed, and all those sorts of things.
And actually getting in and out of those costumes, I imagine it must be pretty difficult to do a quick change.
I think they've been made as quick changeable as possible. all. Yeah, there's one in particular towards the end that's very spectacular that we've had to build in a lot of time for, so that's worth the wait, definitely.
I can't wait, and there's plenty of opportunity to see this, isn't it? When can people see The Little Mermaid, and when is it on until?
So it opens on the 7th, and it runs all the way until the 14th of January.
That's the 7th of December.
7th of December, up until the 14th of January. There's multiple showings on, you know, so normally there's matinee and an evening show, but it is selling out, so you better get in quick.
And that's on where?
At the Egg Theatre in Bath.
Wonderful. I can't wait to see it myself. It's going to be a hoot. B. Roberts, thank you so much. It sounds like it's going to have a great run in Bath and, well, break a fishtail.
Thank you so much, Ivan.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Oh, does that one really need any intro?
It's a bit late, isn't it? It's already started.
Yeah, it did. So, were you here in Bristol at the time, Matthew?
I was coming back to Bristol. I was actually in Hampshire, not far from your old stomping ground. And as I headed back and then came over the Mendips, came in via the south, it was absolutely gorgeous across the top of the Mendips, and it was very snowy.
It was lovely. The whole of Sunday, it just snowed continuously.
It didn't
really settle on the roads, did it? But my garden went lovely and white, which was lovely.
As Bristolians would say, it didn't pitch.
It
didn't pitch. Although it did. When we were driving to London yesterday, we got about halfway, and even though it was absolutely peeing with rain, the fields were still white.
Mm.
Right.
No.
So we were surrounded in Bristol by the snow, but we always miss it because we're surrounded by hills, aren't we?
We have our own.
It's like Rome.
Microclimate, I think.
It's because we special.
Speak for yourself.
No, it was beautiful. A very, very picture postcard for a few hours on Sunday, yes.
So I don't think it's going to be a white Christmas, though, is it?
It's very rare in this country to get a white Christmas. Do you know we're more likely to have a white Easter now?
That wouldn't surprise me, actually.
Because snow tends to come in February, March, doesn't it? Yeah, that's what the Met Office say. We've got more chance of having a white Easter than we have a white Christmas. Easter next year is, I think, the second week in April, I think. So, yeah, be about the sort of time you get late snows, yeah.
I think I can remember a few more white Easters of late than certainly of Christmas, so... Yeah.
It has snowed as late as July.
I know
in the 70s there was cricket matches cancelled because it snowed.
Excuse me.
I've heard of it.
You weren't around in 1963, were you?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
That was the big freeze, wasn't it? 63.
Yes.
82. 1982 as well.
There were whole trains buried.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, everyone talks about it.
It was good. I was 10 years old then. Sledge down the golf links.
God, I haven't been sledging since I was a kid. So anyway, right, we're digressing. we're eating up the show. Let's get some news headlines.
This is Shoutout News on Thursday, the 14th of December.
North Africa has a brand new LGBT radio station, the first of its kind for the Arab-speaking world. SHAMS, which is the Tunisian Association for the Decriminalisation of Homosexuality, has launched the online station with the support of the Dutch Embassy in Tunisia. The online station is called SHAMS Rad, with the slogan Égalité et Dignité, meaning equality and dignity. It will be operational from the 15th of December.
Independent Radio News reports that there is hope for the many of us who find distinguishing between accurate reporting and the rise of fabricated or fake news, largely on the internet, to be a problem. Reputable journalistic organisations and news agencies have joined together to issue a new standard mark, like an approved certification, which serious newspapers, TV and radio news, and accredited websites will be able to display. Given that a lot of anti-gay and anti-trans reportage comes from conspiracy sites and websites which publish hoax news, the new quality assurance brands should help the public distinguish between what is speculative and what is truth.
Gay newswire Pink News is serialising extracts from the final chapters of Quentin Crisp's autobiography. Just published and available now from all good booksellers, the book sees Crisp reflect on his life and death and was penned in the last 2 years of life before his death in 1999. Quentin Crisp was a trailblazer and iconoclast who lived an openly gay life during a period of intense state persecution. Nevertheless, he also infuriated the early gay rights movement with his refusal to endorse liberation and was accused by his many detractors of wallowing in self-pity. On his death, at the end of the last millennium, the Independent newspaper ran with the headline, "The Queen is Dead."
BBC Radio 2 is to bring to life the history of the Torch Song, those flaming good tunes that have often inspired minorities, including the LGBT population. In a series of three programmes being transmitted on Mondays through December, Mark Almond will look back at the work of writers and singers who made Torch Songs and whose legacy still lasts today.
Gay Times has undergone its most radical overhaul in its 35-year history. The magazine now has a new masthead, new layout, and new emphasis on lifestyle articles. It retails from all newsagents at £4.95.
Channel 5 television is perhaps unfairly portrayed as a tabloid network and without much political depth. However, they are to make their own tribute to the suffragists and the suffragette movement in 2018 to mark exactly 100 years since the first women were granted the vote in Britain. The station will broadcast an all-female version of its hit show Big Brother in the new year. The network released a statement saying that it was their way of marking a definitive moment in women's history.
At this time of year, it's nice to focus on some uplifting news, and so it's with pleasure that we can report on an article which was published on Gay Star News and which says that an annex to the homelessness project, the Ali Forney Centre in New York, is opening for LGBT youth just in time for Christmas. The annex is named after Bea Arthur, the actor who died in 2009 and who was a lifelong supporter of progressive causes. Bea Arthur was best known for playing wisecracking and sarcastic housemate Dorothy in the hit sitcom The Golden Girls in the 1980s. She left around $300,000 for the construction of a specific service for LGBT youth.
In Kyrgyzstan, a Central Asian republic which was once part of the Soviet Union, there is a secular legal system, which is a legacy of communist rule, but many people still live by a very ancient interpretation of Islamic custom. Now one of the country's most respected religious leaders, the former Grand Mufti, has announced that he has taken a second wife in accordance with 7th century Islamic custom in the Central Asian steppes. In a statement networked on state-run television, he defended this practice of polygamy, which is where one man may take many wives.
And it's great to have some sports news, particularly as we look at teams fighting for diversity and inclusion. After one of its members needed stitches after an assault by heterosexual men, Argentine rugby team Chivas Pampas launched a high-profile media campaign to raise awareness of hate crime and held a rally to protest homophobia. The team have support across minority communities and in the LGBT movement and many loyal fans through their principled stance. All Bristol and West Country fans, take note.
For these news stories and more from the LGBT universe, check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Matthew Tosh
and Terry Starr.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Oh, what a tune to play when we've got a campanologist in the studio.
You've just that's outed me.
It did mention something about gay, didn't it?
That's Camera of the Bells by Voxiv, that one. They're a bit similar to Pentatonix, but they're a bit more diverse, I want to say. They're not... They're huge. There's like a good like 15 or so of them, whereas Pentatonix obviously is...
15 of them. So they're like Blazing Squad. There's loads of them.
The Blazing Squad of the a cappella world.
Anyway.
Yes, we keep sending Ivan out because it's cold out there. And so Ivan's gone out again with his thermal underwear on while the rest of us stay in the warm studio. And he caught up with Paul Lawless, who's a local actor, and he's got a new show aimed at young people.
Now, I'm really pleased to have in the studio with me today actor extraordinaire Paul Lawless. Hello, Paul. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
It's been a while since I've seen you. I mean, last time I spoke to you, I think you were doing your show Happily Ever After, wasn't
That's correct,
it?
Yeah.
How long ago was that now? I'm trying to think.
I think it must have been in June.
That's been in June.
This year, so like, I'm thinking like 6 months ago.
Now, you're involved in something completely different now, but... Brave Bold Drama. Tell me what that's all about.
Yeah, so 2 years ago, I co-wrote a show alongside the artistic director, Jill Simmons, as an associate artist, and that was Out of the Highwayman, which is also a family show. And this is the kind of the follow-up show called George and the Flight of the Imagineers, which is a... we're calling it a fantastical quest, inspired by the stories of Tintin, featuring illuminations and original song. And it's commencing a tour at the end of this month, and which runs until the beginning of April, and it's a tour around the Southwest. And it's a response to kind of all the funding cuts in schools, particularly with arts provision, which has hit Bristol particularly bad. And it's to empower kids to be resourceful with their creativity and say, you know, you may not have a lot, you may not be able to afford music lessons, but what you can do is you can acquire objects from around your house and create any narrative. And that's what we've done, really.
So it's teaching kids to use their imagination on a budget, basically.
Yeah, which is kind of what we've done. We didn't get our G4A, so we had no choice.
Oh, right, okay. So, I mean, you've done it on a budget as well. Yeah. So, you know, you're basically teaching kids to do what you're doing at the moment.
We're setting the blueprint for the kids.
Fantastic. And I, you know, you mentioned kids. Obviously, it's aimed at younger people, this particular production,
We have this kind of, this ethos whereby we think there's a key difference between family theatre and kids theatre in the sense that family theatre appeals more to a wider demographic, because essentially when you make a family show, that's how we perceive it, or a show targeted to a younger audience, the ratio of adult to child is always significantly higher. There's often like 3 adults to a child. That's a given. So for them to sit through an hour of a show and for them to be bored, it's not an ideal scenario. And you know, we're adults. It's like the whole Pixar mentality, isn't it? Like it's kids films for adults, you know. That's the approach we take with it. So yeah, it is for kids, but there's very much a wider appeal in that respect. So it's fun and it's engaging, but we don't make like panto jokes that go over the heads of the kids. And if there are little nods to things, they're subtler so that the parents will get. And it's just very layered. The core of it is very much about empowering kids who feel undervalued or under respected. And it's kind of, just kind of a feel good vibe.
And you've got some music in there as well.
Yeah, we have, yeah.
And have you written the music yourself?
This time round, no. So Jill's a very accomplished musician. So she wrote the lyric and all the composition, and then because I'm my time restraints this time of the year is ridiculous, and she'd come to me with the music and I'd tweak some of the lyric or whatnot, but generally this time it's pretty much all been her, but she's so quick with it, so it's fine. Like she's very efficient.
So what's the actual premise of the plot then? I mean, without giving too much away.
So we introduced to a young boy called George, and he's taken to the seaside by his mum, who has a job interview, and he's left to kind of his own devices at this pier, and he's given a certain amount of money, and he goes on the rides, etc. And then he meets Romany Gypsy, fortune teller, and she kind of inspires him with words of wisdom, and he accidentally breaks a globe that she has, and she says, "Don't worry, George. I have another one, but for it to light up, it needs to be imbued with the four elements." So he goes on this fantastical quest in his imagination, which allows for that ball to kind of be fully realised and for it to kind of glow. But it's indicative of his imagination.
Yeah, I'm fascinated how you're going to portray all this within the theatre itself, how all these magical worlds are going to sort of come to fruition. Or is it going to take a bit of imagination on the part of the audience as well?
Yeah, it very much is. You know, we're not talking like extravagant set here. We're talking, you know, to inspire kids to create their own stories, you've got to make it so that, you know, what they could technically achieve through the message that we're sharing, what we're playing with, the parameters we're working within, what would work for them, if that makes sense.
Right.
Sorry,
yeah.
I don't know if I explained that brilliantly well. But it is a heavy characterization and costume pieces and props that are, you know, notably we've made that a kid could have made, but it looks the production qualities are good enough that it's professional, but the kids could go, oh, I know, yeah, I could do that. That's, and I could achieve that, you know?
You're encouraging these young people to get involved themselves. It sounds like a sort of Narnia-esque sort of type fairy tale. I don't know whether I've kind of grabbed that correctly, but it sounds a lot of fun. You're performing here in Bristol, are you?
Yes, so we are doing the Almouth Tavern Theatre on the 28th and the 29th of December this month. We're doing 2 p.m. shows and the 6:30 shows, and then we're at the Space in Keynsham on the 30th of December, doing a matinee show then, which is 2:30, and then we are back in the middle of January at Zion in Bedminster Down on the 13th and 14th of January.
All nice spaces, nice smallish spaces, nothing too big.
And then we're back in the venue that me and Jill co-run in Withywood, a creative workspace, on the 16th of February.
I suppose importantly, let's talk about accessibility really. How much are the tickets?
They vary depending on the venue. So from the top of my head, I believe tickets at the Alma are £8.50.
Paul Lawless, thank you so much. And, I hope you get lots of young people turn up at the shows.
Yeah, thank you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Especially for Claire, that one, I think.
That was the well done, news team. That was our news team live in the studio. And they were actually... No, I'm
just sit back down again. Sorry.
I'm really impressed that you didn't get out of breath singing, because you were bopping around the studio.
It was Terry's high kicks also made my eyes water.
Did you see that high kick?
I know, it's just... outrageous.
So, no, I am going to take a liberty, and I am going to say very Merry Christmas to my sister Claire, who I know is listening.
Hello, Claire.
Merry Christmas.
And what about the other 60-odd thousand people?
Yeah, hello to you too. So, Merry Christmas.
Their turn can come.
Save the rest for next week.
I will warn you, next week is going to get really Christmassy. Yeah. Because you're not allowed near a mic next week. You won't be co-presenting, so you can't stop me. So.
For people who are new to the show, because we've got new stations come on board, what sorts of things can we expect in the Christmas show?
It's the one, because we spend all year, of course, like reporting and doing things and promoting LGBT events and talking to other people, and it's the one show of the year where I kind of take over and we just have a bit of fun, and all of the shout out team come in and we
get very competitive.
It gets very competitive, doesn't it?
Yeah, all the mutual respect goes out the window.
And totally, totally. It can be absolute carnage sometimes.
I heard it.
Did you hear the bit? You heard it as
the
well.
It's the one week of the year where I can control things.
Yes. It's the one day that I take control.
Well, I don't put any of the broadcast order in like Dropbox or anything, so you can't see it, so you have no idea what's coming.
It's going to be fun. And so it'll be our usual quiz format next week, is it? I'm allowed to say that?
It'll be a Christmas quiz. So,
yes, fantastic.
And I haven't decided exactly, but to give you an idea, like last year we played like the snippets of theme tunes of movies and you had to guess what they were, and then we did a fastest tune, and then we had a general knowledge type thing. It's quite fun.
And so that means that people can play at home then?
Yeah, that's the whole point. Yeah.
Excellent.
So you can play along with us at home and shout at your radio.
Shout
at. How do you not know that? That's usually what happens with quizzes, isn't it? So, yeah, no, it should be good fun. That's next week. We don't know if we're broadcasting the week after or not yet. So stay tuned and we'll make sure we confirm that next week.
Yeah, indeed.
So we may not be here that week.
Depends how much we consume over Christmas. No, it doesn't.
Good Lord, you'd have to have a hell of a hangover if it's last that long. What are you planning, Terry?
Chocolates and turkeys and chickens. We all like a bit of chicken at Christmas, don't we?
I prefer turkey.
Turkey.
Yeah. I'm not right into that one.
No.
Some people have goose.
I'm sure they do, Terry.
Yes. Goose.
Or a vegetarian nut roast.
I have a nut roast in the fridge.
Do you?
Oh.
Excellent. Always nice to have a nut. I love nut roast.
Have you got veggies coming in, have you?
Have you got
veggies
who?
Coming?
keep to the script, Andrew.
Oh, here we go. Right, okay, let's see what we do. That's it for this week. Please do check us out online.
Shadowradio.lgbt is where you want to head.
Then, as I said, join us next week as I take over for our traditional Christmas quiz. And yes, it will be Christmas.
I don't get another bit.
No, you don't. Not. No, you just shush now. You stuffed up the beginning. Listen, you're not allowed anymore. So say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.